So the moment is finally here. The Yom HaShmini has passed. It's time for Hashem Shechina to come down onto the Mishkan. What ushers in the Shechina? What paves the pathway for the Shechina to come down? The pasuk reads, "Vayisaron et yadav el ha'am vayivarkeh." What does Aaron HaKohen do at that fateful moment? He raises up his hands and he blesses Am Yisrael. Rashi and Chazal explain on the spot, what did he do? Vayivarkeh Birkat Kohanim. That there was nothing less than Birkat Kohanim that was used at this very moment to go ahead and bring in the Shechina to Am Yisrael, to bring the Shechina down onto the Mishkan. And the truth is that that's the goal of Birkat Kohanim. The goal of Birkat Kohanim is for the Kohanim to be the middleman in between us and God and help the Shechina come to each one of us. And when we sit here and we listen to Birkat Kohanim and hopefully we experience Birkat Kohanim, that should be what we're feeling. Birkat Kohanim is one of the oldest parts of Tefillah. Every Mishnah that talks about Shmon Esrei, the Ma'amadot, the Jews that during the Korbanot would stand there and daven, said Birkat Kohanim. The Shulchan Aruch talks about a mitzvah d'oraita, a positive biblical mitzvah to say Birkat Kohanim every day, and three isurim, three negative transgressions on a Kohen who doesn't say Birkat Kohanim. And despite all this, many of you, you come here whether it's, you know, a month ago or 6 months ago, and every year I get the question, wow, what's a strange minhag in Eretz Yisrael to do Birkat Kohanim? But as I'm sure you're already starting to figure out, the question's the opposite. There's no question, why do we say Birkat Kohanim here in Israel? You know why we say Birkat Kohanim in Israel? It's a mitzvah, and it tells her not to. The bigger question is, why have all of you, or many of you, not grown up in communities that have said Birkat Kohanim? That being said, there are communities around the world till today that still have said Birkat Kohanim, certainly Sfardim amongst them. Therefore, the question becomes, why did the Ashkenazi Minhag, where did Birkat Kohanim go in the Ashkenazi Minhag? And there are three classic explanations I'll share with you, just to quickly explain this. The most classic, and perhaps the most troublesome explanation, is that of the Ramah. The Ramah in Siman Kuf Chaf Chet says like this, there's a din of avelut, mourning. A mourner, hopefully no one should ever have to go to an avel's house, but there's a mitzvah to go to an avel's house and to daven there. And when you daven there, you'll discover, even here in Israel, we don't say Birkat Kohanim. Because Birkat Kohanim and mourning and sadness don't go along. Therefore, says the Ramah, we in Galut, and by the way, this is something between a terrible and sad statement. We in the Galut, we're in the early modern period in Jewish history in Poland. We in the Galut are in constant state of, he doesn't say mourning, but he says pain, tsar. The Jewish people in Poland had a really, really difficult, painful existence. And how can we say Birkat Kohanim? We're not happy. We're not living in simcha. The only time we're actually happy and we can focus and think about life being good is on Chagim, on Yom Tov. And therefore, for the Ramah, Yom Tov is the only time that hopefully many of you have grown up that you hear Birkat Kohanim in your shuls. I'm going to call that the most classic explanation. Second explanation is quoted by the Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef quotes the Sefer of Agur. Agur is a 14th century Ashkenazi German who then moved to Italy as he ran away. And the Agur quotes a wild minhag that every time I think about it makes me just say, wow. The Agur says like this, you need a Kohen, right? The Kohanim used to do Birkat Kohanim every day in the Beit HaMikdash. And in the Beit HaMikdash, they were tahor, they were pure. And therefore the minhag used to be that every Kohen, every morning before davening, would go to the mikvah. You would go to the mikvah to be tahor. Except what happened? That worked well when you're in Israel, and it worked well when Jews were in Spain. But, you know, go to England and go to Germany for like the 7 to 8 months of winter. And you try going to a non-heated mikvah. You try going to the Arizal's mikvah every week, every day. And what happened, says the Agur, is that the Kohanim stopped going to the mikvah every morning because it was too cold. And if you stop going to the mikvah, guess what you can't do? You can't do Birkat Kohanim. And says the Agur, that's how Birkat Kohanim fell out of use. Third explanation is offered by the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim, by the way, whoever's borrowing the Sefer Chassidim, we should put them back on the shelf. The Sefer Chassidim basically has the following idea. Chassidi Ashkenaz, Sefer Chassidim, is part of a movement called the German Pietist Movement, the 12th and 13th century. And they really felt that when they moved to Germany, you know, around the year 1000, the Colonimus family came and settled in Germany in the Rhine River. They felt that this was the worst, deepest, most distant galut they've ever experienced. And the Jews went 10 steps. They didn't even know what would happen one day in Germany. But going to Germany, they felt God had pushed them aside. God had rejected them. And they were as far away as possible from God as they could be. And therefore, for example, Tachanun changes. Tachanun, we don't go down to the floor. And if we don't have a Sefer Torah and Aron Kodesh in the room, we don't put our head down. Because it's really hard in the galut to feel God's presence in our davening. And for that very same reason, says Sefer Chassidim, we don't do Birkat Kohanim. Because Birkat Kohanim is about Shechina. And it's really hard to feel the Shechina sometimes in galut. And we don't feel it. And therefore, Birkat Kohanim becomes a bracha levatal. And certainly if that's the case, my hope is that we're all here for the year or more, and we are hopefully soaking in Birkat Kohanim. And my question for all of us is, if we really appreciate what Birkat Kohanim is, how does it change our davening? How does it make us experience davening differently when we're getting a bracha from God through the Kohanim every single morning? And if that's something that perhaps we haven't thought enough about, then I encourage everyone, every Shacharit, close your eyes and feel the experience of Birkat Kohanim. It shouldn't be something that, oh yeah, in Israel we had it every day. I want it to sink, to seep into us. What does it feel like to get a bracha every single day? What does it feel like for the Shechina to come down here next to us? And hopefully that will help improve our tefillah. Have a good one.